Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, we learn how handmade dolls are sharing the dreams of Syrian women and children with the world. And a human rights expert urges action to combat discrimination against women and girls with disabilities. Investing in women's health care as a basic human right in Finland used to be something of a sensitive issue, but it has turned out to be a smart investment, the country's former president said at the UN on Tuesday. Speaking ahead of a debate at the Human Rights Council in Geneva to promote women's rights with the Sustainable Development Goals agenda, Tarja Halonen told Daniel Johnson that in her 50-year political career, she had seen the harm caused by budget cuts.
Let's see how it goes. A few weeks ago, we introduced this same paper report to the World Health Organization, and we are in very, very historical situation. This is the very first time, as long as I know, when the World Health Organization and the Office of the High Commissioner of the Human Rights are so closely working together. And this is a certain kind of the new engagement, if I put it that way, and I think that it will be fantastic for both of them. I think that the members of the Council might understand that they have a crucial importance because we need a strong leadership for this issue. And I will encourage them to be part of the important work of transformation of all these rights and goals in practice.
I just wonder, as the former president of Finland, what kind of best practice are you going to be telling the Human Rights Council members today that they should be implementing? What have you seen in your country?
I will say, first of all, that it's a human rights issue, but it will also strengthen the prosperity of the country, and it will also support the ecological sustainability. And we can show it, for instance, when we have had this comprehensive education and these rights in Finland. So we notice that it has a very strong consequences in positive way, both for the maternity and incidents, what can happen there, but also for children.
Any particular projects that spring to mind as a politician in your country?
Yes, that in the beginning it was very sensitive issue in late 1960s when I started about 50 years ago. But my predecessors in politics, they were smart enough to give money for the information for the students and other young people. They had also good experiences that how so-called teenage pregnancies, they diminished. And also we have the experience that when these were made the budget cuttings on this, so the situation became again worse. So we have material evidence that what it can do.
But it's taken money and time, but it is possible.
It's a smart investment. It's a really smart investment. And I think that it's very correct what World Health Organization has said, that don't speak so much expenses. It's a question of investment because it pays back many times that. And I think that this is one way to see it. People have used to do it in business, but we can do it also in social services.
Dolls made by Syrian women living in a UN-run refugee camp in Lebanon are being used to tell the stories and dreams of mothers and children left behind. The dolls are part of a project called the Anna Collection, created by Marianne and Melina Musali, daughters of a Lebanese father and a Syrian mother. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, says the initiative helps the refugees to open up to other communities in the Shatila camp in Beirut, which originally was set up for Palestinian refugees. Michelle Alves de Lima reports.
The fish embroidered on the body of a doll called Manhal is meant to depict a little girl's fear of marine life. Although her family dreams of traveling, she is terrified of drowning at sea and being eaten by the fish, according to Amina, a 56-year-old Syrian refugee who's one of the 80 embroiderers in a project named the Anna Collection. Anna means I am in Arabic. The project uses art to expose the hidden pain of Syrians who remain inside a country ravaged by war. Amina tells the story of another doll that she stitched together by hand.
I embroidered this doll. Her name is Salma. When her son was asked what his dream was, he said his dream is to go back home and get married.
The creators of the project, Marianne and Melina Musali, collect the stories of ordinary Syrians with the help of a relative who remains in Syria. These tales, in turn, become sketches and are embroidered into cotton dolls by refugees in the Shatila camp. The stories that inspired the Anna collection are written down on a small card that is later attached to each figure. The dolls are named after the person whose story is told, Marianne Mosali explains.
People are very interested in the stories of the dolls. They know if they buy Salma the doll, they will be helping Salma, the refugee, and that the money they pay will go to this refugee. People are amazed by this idea.
UNHCR's public information officer in Lebanon, Dana Sleiman, says the project brings more than economic benefits to the Syrian refugees in the Shatila camp.
It also helps women feel that they're being useful to their families. It helps them create linkages in their own communities and make friends. And it helps them also open up to other communities, like, for example, in the instance of the Shatila camp, so the Palestinian community there, and also the Lebanese. It really opens their horizons and gives them a sense of purpose, which they didn't have prior to this initiative.
Each doll costs between $25 and $65, depending on its size. More than 1,500 dolls have been sold, and through them, 48 stories have been shared since the project was launched. Michelle Alves de Lima, United Nations.
A UN human rights expert is calling for action to address what she has described as the multiple layers of discrimination against women and girls with disabilities. Catalina de Vandas Aguilar made the appeal as activists meet at the UN this week to take stock of progress made since the adoption of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in 2006. Mark Petimezas sat down with Ms. de Vandas Aguilar, who is the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and began by asking her to define what progress really means.
I think that there are two things that would be very beneficial if we are able to mainstream them. The first one is to make sure that social protection policies are fully inclusive of persons with disabilities. And the second one is to guarantee that support networks will be available for persons with disabilities. And this means that persons with disabilities will be covered by universal health coverage, that will have access to pensions, that will have access to a specific benefit, to support their income, but also to recognize that they have or we have additional costs for participation, and that should be recognized.
The unemployment rate for women with disabilities is much higher than that for men. What steps can be taken to address this?
Well, this is a good question on the intersectionality and on the situation also of women with disabilities that are often more disadvantaged than men with disabilities. And urgent action is needed on that. There is very little attention to the dramatic situation that women with disabilities, girls with disabilities face on their daily lives, not only with regards to employment, it is with regards to violence, with regards to education. You can add and add because the multiple layers of discrimination apply to women with disabilities. And to change that, what we need is to increase the awareness and to put more efforts into recognizing the support that women with disabilities need to exercise their rights.
Various disabled people do not live with one disability, but with multiple. How can states improve monitoring and evaluation to avoid double discrimination?
This is, again, a question on the intersectionality. We are talking about a very diverse group of people and that we need very diverse solutions as well. We cannot forget that to talk about inclusion, we need to be inclusive ourselves and to consider all the different characteristics that persons with disabilities face, because persons with disabilities are gay, are women, are girls, are black, are indigenous. You know, we are all around. We're poor, we're rich. So by investing and recognizing the rights of persons with disabilities, we are actually investing in the full recognition of the concept of universality of human rights. Because if you cover persons with disabilities, you are covering every single group in the society.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. You can also look for us on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.